You're listening to the Unstoppable Business Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Lee. Bruce, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
It's my pleasure, Bruce. So when people ask you, what do? How exactly do you answer that?
Well, I spin a lot of different plates, but the short version is I'm in the training and tools business for commercial real estate. And training encompasses live training, specifically Excel-based financial modeling, and also real estate finance and investments, self-study, and private coaching. And the tool side of things encompasses Excel-based spreadsheets and our own software platform and those types of things. So that's sort of the short version.
Okay, gotcha. So, Bruce, what inspired you to start on this journey of real estate?
Well, I had always had a fascination with buildings, even from a very young age. And it's really, I think, just about curiosity. And if you find something that you're so curious about that you can't stop thinking about it, that's a pretty good indicator of whether you would enjoy spending your life doing it and, you know, and putting in all of the time to become good at what you do and dealing with all of the challenges and the headaches and sometimes difficult situations, difficult personalities related to just the day-to-day of working in business. And, I like just the multidisciplinary nature of working in real estate finance and investments and in education surrounding that. Real estate, obviously, it's very much a part of everybody's life and architecture, and it's long-lasting and has that, you know, beautiful artistic element to it in a lot of cases. And naturally, it's also a major, major slice of the economy. And so it's important to a lot of people in a lot of different ways, and it's used by everybody across the different property types. And it's just something that resonates with me. And I found my niche by somewhat a process of elimination. I worked in a couple of different fields prior to gravitating towards real estate. And I'm lucky that I found real estate when and how I did.
Gotcha. Okay. So Bruce, you said you were in a couple of fields prior to real estate. What kind of fields were you in before that?
Well, I worked in the entertainment business for Sony Pictures in their television, international television division, and also in the mutual fund business in the technology research sector. Both were very interesting and, you know, both challenging. And nonetheless, I think I concluded that both of those, in retrospect, just they didn't have the tangibility factor that I think I just at my very core needed to have something that had a little bit of more of a physical manifestation to it. And real estate obviously fits that description very nicely. And the other fields that I worked in were, you know, they were terrific fields, you know, large fields, interesting, vibrant fields. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, that idea of tangibility and the sort of concreteness and the long-lasting nature of real estate was really very attractive to me.
Gotcha. Okay. So would you say those, because those fields prior to real estate, they seemed vastly different. Was it difficult going into the real estate field for you?
I did need to do a major pivot, as they say, and I was fortunate enough to get accepted to business school at Wharton, which is at University of Pennsylvania, and I got there a little bit early and was basically just sort of hanging out in my tiny little shoebox studio apartment in the Center City area, and I did a lot of thinking and a lot of walking around town and just trying to figure out, before all the craziness got started, what I wanted to spend, 30, 40 years of my life doing. And I was making lists and crossing things off. And, when I got to real estate, the more and more that I dug into it and thought about it and peeled the layers of the onion back, the more I was interested in it. So, you never underestimate the ability to, or the power rather, of just having some time to yourself to think through things. I mean, life is just so crazy. I mean, that was one of the sort of pockets of true downtime that, I had as a young adult. And, in between finishing up my previous employment and starting school, and you can come up with some good stuff during that downtime if you're hoping to conclude certain things.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Bruce, were you really successful when you got into the real estate business, or was it kind of rocky in the beginning for you?
Well, everything good takes time, and I would say that I was in a very interesting position when I came out, and the real estate market was at a very exciting part of its cycle. It's a cyclical business, and things were very hot, and there was just so much activity in terms of development and construction and transactions occurring in commercial real estate. I was originally in the Washington, D.C. market, and I loved it. So yeah, I would say there was success in the sense that I got a job that I really wanted to get, and I was able to perform well in that position. But just like anything else, you don't know what you don't know. And so when you are new to a field and new to a position, new to a company, there is just so much that you're just completely ignorant to. And so it's a learning process. But again, if you have the passion for a particular field, you invite that learning and you want to become expert on something and you want to be a success at it. And so it doesn't necessarily all feel like work per se. It's more of an investigation and a growth process and an enrichment process from a skills perspective, from a knowledge perspective, and so on. But there's a lot to learn, no question about it.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Bruce, when did it shift over from you practicing this to teaching it?
Well, it's funny. I had always shied away from doing sort of spreadsheet type work. But when I got to business school, I didn't have a choice. So I really had my work cut out for me. And it's just sort of you just jump in with both feet and figure out how to swim. And there were a lot of classmates of mine who I'm very grateful for all of their help and patience and helping me to start to get my bearings within Microsoft Excel and to become better at it. And eventually I felt quite confident in it. And again, also just interested in the possibilities of what it could do and how I could do better within that. And I found myself just on an informal basis from time to time, doing a little bit of helping out of others or tutoring per se, on that subject. And eventually it's the it was the thing that I said, you know what, I think I can do this as a profession. And there is a need for more providers of this type of training. And so I had an opportunity to go out and make a business that centered around the building of a particular set of technical skills in Microsoft Excel for a particular industry. It's very, very niche. It's specific to commercial real estate transactions. And I went for it.
Gotcha. Okay. So Bruce, since this was so niche, was it kind of scary going in, knowing that it's such a niche category?
Well, I wouldn't say it's scary. I mean, the there's a lot of opportunity within the niches, and you can't be an expert on everything. So, I actually felt safety within the niche, frankly, because that was my area of relative expertise, at least. And it was what I focused on in my studies, and I had some industry experience. And so I felt that I had a good mix of education and background and practice to be able to add value in that space. And so I don't think I was, intimidated by the fact that it was a niche. I mean, it's intimidating just in general to start a business and to go out on your own, and I call it stepping into the void and operating in the void, because when you start your own business, you don't get a daily email saying these are the things that you need to do today to grow your business and to stay in business and so on. So you really do need to be able to give a lot of structure to your days and to be very strict and disciplined with how you spend your time. Because there's only so many hours in the day and you only have so much energy, and you need to focus on the things that are going to keep you in business long enough for the business to get some substantial traction. And those things are get customers first and foremost. You have to have customers. Even if you have a big foundation in terms of cash to get started, eventually you have to get to the point where you're generating income. And the more income, the better. The more repeat that income in nature, the better. And so on. And so there was a natural fear, I think, of what I call disconnecting myself from the matrix, right? To use a reference from a mid-90s movie, right? When you're sort of working for a large organization, large corporation, it's kind of like you're in the matrix, and things are quite stratified and clear as far as what it is that's expected of you and how you can go about fulfilling your objectives and rise up, at some measured pace. But once you disconnect yourself from the matrix, again, you're not getting an email every morning saying, okay, these are the steps to take today. It's really up to you to give that structure to your day.
Are you an expert or course creator trying to monetize your online course? Well, use our one-page template to get more paying students to your online course without marketing overwhelm or sleazy sales tactics. You can download this for free at unstoppablebusiness.com. Now, back to the show. So, would you say your former education and business school definitely helped you with that structure?
Yeah, I mean, business school is very helpful if you don't have a prior business education, for one, which I did not. I was a liberal arts major in undergrad. I was basically a film major, and I loved, the idea of storytelling and creativity and visual storytelling. in particular. And so I didn't really have much of a formalized background. I did work for a mutual fund manager, so I picked up a lot on the job and had a lot of exposure to those types of things. But it provided a phenomenal foundation and a way to see the world, a series of lenses that you could look through, which serve as frameworks for understanding how things work, a way to approach problem solving. All of the disciplines for master's degrees, I think, provide you with a tool set for solving problems, right? And, some are more specific than others. Some are licensed, in terms of being an attorney or being an accountant or being a medical doctor. But the other disciplines that are not licensed, such as business or, some masters in, fine arts or filmmaking or something of that nature. Again, they are training you in a way to solve problems. They're not always the same types of problems across disciplines, but I think the most important thing is that you adopt this idea of being adaptable when it comes to problem solving. Okay, understanding what the problem is, drawing upon whatever experience you can to propose to yourself different avenues for solving the problem, and then eventually choosing one of those and taking action, right? You can't deliberate forever on which course of action is the best course of action. You do need to make a choice eventually and move forward. Otherwise, you're going to miss the deadline or not get things done, when they need to be done in a
Right.
reasonable amount of time. So yes, I do think it was very beneficial in that way. And that anything that gives you confidence in your ability to solve problems is a good thing.
Gotcha. Okay. So Bruce, let's talk a little bit about the online course. When did you start creating that?
So this particular course, which it's a certification program called REFI, spelled REFAI, and this stands for Real Estate Finance and Investments. It's something that I had envisioned several years ago, and through my collaboration with Dr. Peter Linneman, who's my mentor and the founding chair of the Wharton Real Estate Department, we had discussed several years ago, the idea of creating some sort of rigorous self-study based educational program. And we went back and forth on it, and it wasn't something that was fully formed at the time, and we got busy on various different things. And then, after having been invited to be the co-author of this current fifth edition of his textbook, Real Estate Finance and Investments, Risks and Opportunities. It's currently the fifth edition. After having completed that, I said, wow, this, obviously I'm a big fan of it. And I said, this really is terrific. And I really think that if we married a self-study structured certification program to the book, not only would it help drive textbook sales and smooth out the seasonality of those sales because those sales revolve a lot around the start of a semester, because it's a book that's been adopted by many universities. It would also potentially expand the book to more young professionals who were not in school but were interested in learning. And so those are sort of the ideas behind it. And it's something that took a colossal amount of work, absolutely colossal
Really?
amount of work. My team and I, and Peter and his team, and if I had known how much work it would take, I might have thought twice. But that's the case for a lot of things in business, is your ignorance and your naivete and your willingness to go for it are, in many cases, an asset because you're not afraid to just launch into something. So yeah, it's this is a very, very broad program. It covers the entire body of knowledge in the textbook and beyond. There are 500 questions, over 30 different quizzes and exams. There is a very rich multimedia component, all of which required every step of the process of content creation, right? Ideation, the actual production, the editing, the packaging, the curation of where content should go within the course. So we have audio, we have multimedia video, we have, technical video on skills topics and so on. And it's a lot. It's a lot, but the feedback that we've gotten so far is overwhelmingly very positive, so we're very pleased about that. And we are excited just that we're able to, frankly, offer this level of rigor and accountability and the course itself, just to the world, because it is obviously, real estate is, it's a part of everyone's lives, and to the extent that people want to either be in real estate professionally or do something on the side as it relates to real estate, this is a tremendous asset in terms of knowledge and education. And as I said, you don't know what you don't know. So turns out that we think that there are at least 500 things that are important enough to be tested on. So if you don't know about those 500 things, you just think from the exterior, oh, well, real estate's easy, right? Everyone can do real estate. It's possible. One thing's for sure is everyone can lose money in real estate. That is for certain. Not everyone can make money in real estate, and so we're trying to effectively equip people to be able to assess opportunities and identify risks within those potential situations and make decisions, informed decisions that are grounded in trusted, proven analytical frameworks for assessing the possibility of financial profit.
Gotcha. So Bruce, what was like the coolest part of this this course that you made? Was it like, creating it? It was kind of like crazy creating it. Was it reaching a younger demographic, or was it just reaching the world in a different way? What was like the most impactful thing you think with this online course for you?
Well, it's we just officially released it last week, so it's still an infant. But I think the most exciting thing I think is always just getting, making your first sale for something new that you have created from scratch. And so when we made our first sale, we actually did a pilot of the program several months ago with a very large company. They took a substantial number of seats, and we guided them through that process. And so I would say the moment of greatest elation was, making that sale. And then it was educational and impactful to those participants in the program who found great value in it.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Bruce, what's the 5 to 10 year vision for you? Like, you're creating these courses, you're doing more with real estate. Like, what's the 5 to 10 year vision?
Well, there's always going to be some new challenge that we're chasing. I think, for the very near term, we're going to continue to nurture this new initiative very much and continually improve, from year to year. And just as we revise the textbook, we'll make enhancements and tweaks to the online certification course. in response to, how participants react to certain elements of it, and maybe they think something's too easy, something's too hard, something is being missed, or something is being stressed too much. There's a lot of feedback that we are eagerly awaiting to get to help to fine-tune it so that it can be its best. Beyond that, I think that there are other opportunities. We haven't really fully zeroed in on any of them yet, but this course, the Refi course, is going to be a learning experience of sorts for us. And we'd like to see where it could manifest and how it can be valuable to as many people as possible.
Gotcha. Okay. Nice. So Bruce, is there anything else that you'd want to say to the audience out there listening?
Well, I think that building expertise is really key. You want to have credibility, and it takes time to build expertise, but it's doable. Someone who was a film major in undergrad can now be participating in a real estate focused endeavor, then you too can do it. And it again stems from that innate curiosity. And so if you have a real passion for whatever this topic or discipline may be, feed the passion, right? Go for it. And keep asking questions until people tell you to shut up, and then ask a few more.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is. Sometimes people will tell you to shut up, or they'll just stop answering your emails. Obviously, you want to be polite and gracious, and show gratitude, and try to return favors where you can, and pay it forward where you can. But it all starts, I think, with that intellectual curiosity, and then really there is a sense of altruism in the idea of being a teacher, an instructor, a trainer, in as much as you are empowering others, you are getting others to a place where you are now, but you were not originally. And so I think that if you find yourself being reluctant to share, try to recognize that and realize that anything relating to education and training and instruction is very much centered around sharing, and there's a caring element in that, right? You don't just want to tell people, you really want to help them to understand what it is that they're going for. So be open, be generous, and continue to stay sharp on your game and your field, and be part of the conversation.